learning from the faith of Noah. We pointed out that the Bible has emphasized the importance of faith, that it matters not how sincere a man or a woman is, it matters not what effort that person puts out. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And we must understand that belief in God and in what God says is the very foundation in having any relationship with God and in pleasing God. Faith is absolutely necessary. But get this. I pointed out last week that it's not just believing that there is a God. This is important for us to understand. The Bible makes it plain that merely believing that there is a God is not enough. And when the Bible tells us that the devil believes and trembles, that's one of the points is being emphasized there, that merely believing that there is a God without, watch this, without respect for what God says, that is the word of God, the revelation of God, you will not be able to be pleasing to God if you believe that he exists, but what he says is treated lightly. Last week, we ended on the first, fact that in Noah's faith, there are seven things the Bible says about Noah's faith. And last week, we ended on the first one, just the first one. And this is taken from Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. If one of you will read that passage for us. Let us hear it.
By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which
is by
faith.
So remember last week, thank you, brother, we look on the ground of Noah's faith, the basis. And what did that faith rest? What created that faith? The ground, the basis, the part of the lesson last week was spent on that, and we learn that it was the word of God, that Noah, having been warned of God, moved, built an ark based on that warning or message he got from God. It was not based on his feeling. Noah's faith did not rest on his fancies or his likes or his dreams. Noah's faith had as its ground or base the word of God. Because we are told in the book of Romans chapter 10:17, not only is that passage informing us, it is telling us that faith that does not rest on the word of God is not acceptable faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But a passage mentioned last week that much was not said because it was mentioned at the end of the lesson is found in the book of Luke, chapter 5 and verse 4 and 5. Luke chapter 5 and verse 4 and 5. In this passage, we further are encouraged by paying attention to and respecting not only that God exists, but on the word of God. Let us hear the passage.
Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep.
Launch out into the deep.
And let down your nets.
Let down your nets.
For a draught.
For a draught.
And Simon answered and said unto
him. Simon answered and said to Jesus Christ.
Master.
Master.
We have toiled all night.
We have toiled. That is where you are telling us to let down our net. We have let down net there probably a dozen or more times. We have toiled all night. Read on.
And have taken nothing.
Nothing. There is no fish there.
Nevertheless.
Notice this nevertheless.
At thy word.
Wait. Notice this nevertheless. In other words, we have doubt whether there will be any result. Fishing in that same area that we have done so all night. But because of your word, you see, that makes all the difference. You see, when we put aside what our experience teaches us, when we put aside what our feeling drives us to do, when we put aside what our likes or dislike dictate, and when God's word take the precedence, nevertheless at thy word. Noah would have said the same thing. Today we pick up. And the second thing about Noah's faith, that is the second thing mentioned in the passage about Noah's faith, and that is the sphere of Noah's faith. Let us hear the passage again.
By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith.
Take there. There is a phrase in the passage you might have overlooked. So I'm going to ask the brother to read it again for your benefit. I was about to ask that you go to the book of Genesis chapter 6, but stay right there in Hebrews 11, 7. Read it again. By faith.
By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet.
Stop here. Notice this. One of God, notice this, of things not seen as yet. We want to spend a few minutes on that phrase. Things not seen as yet. What did you say? How did you turn the second point here, Brother Mitchell? The sphere. S-P-H-E-R-E. Now, when I say it, you may think I said it. The fear, not F-E-A-R, but the S-P-H-E-R-E, the sphere, that which Noah's faith encompasses. The things that make up Noah's faith, the sphere of Noah's faith. May I have your attention, the extent, the boundary, the dimension, the greatness, the depth of Noah's faith. Noah's faith took hold of things not yet seen. But I'm not true there. When the Bible says he was one of things not seen as yet, when the Almighty God delivered the warning to Noah to prepare an ark and told Noah that there will be a terrible flood rain, watch here. Not only that they have never seen rain like that, it's on. Okay. Not only had they never seen rain like that, they had never seen rain. Brother Mitchell, say it again. Rain had never fallen up to that point. There was no rain up to that point. Brother Mitchell, do you know what you're saying? Yes. And the Almighty God tell this man, I'm going to destroy the earth with a flood. When Noah, in the first place, when Noah accepted that, he was accepting something that was beyond and out of the reach of human experience, because they didn't know what rain was. Turn to the book of Genesis. And it is chapter 2, verse 5 and 6. Chapter 2, verse 5 and 6. Let us hear it.
And every plant of the field, before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field, before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground.
But wait. Something got past you there. Did you hear that? That the Almighty God, read that part again, brother.
And every plant of the field, before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field, before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went...
The Almighty God had not caused... You see, we assume that from God created the earth so as to perpetuate vegetation and other things, that from he created the world, rain was falling like we know it now. No. The passage here tells us that God had not caused it to rain upon the earth. So when Noah's faith took hold on things not yet seen, when God said that he's going to destroy the world by a flood, not only Noah's audience, but Noah himself had not seen rain. You see some of the implication there. That going to make Noah a laughing stock when he told them that he's building a big boat. I can just imagine. In fact, you see how we leave our home to go to the museum and other place to see ancient things that we have not seen within our lifetime. Well, I imagine people probably in Noah's time plan picnic to go and see this intoxicated, crazy man building a big boat to float on water when they had not seen rain. That's the extent that is telling. When the Bible tells us that Noah believed and moved by God's word, which told him about things that had never happened. That is faith. Noah believed God's word against all odds. The world had existed for hundreds or thousands of years. Are we there? That is before Noah's time. And there was no event. There was no geographical happenings throughout the time and beyond that Noah lived to indicate to him or his generation that what he was preaching was even possible. Nothing had happened on the earth to let Noah and his generation believe that what Noah was preaching and preparing for was likely or possible. Nothing had happened on the earth to indicate that. There was no natural event that would tell the then generation that a flood so massive, it would come and it would be so, the rainfall would be so heavy, it would lift that boat, that ship. Nothing had happened before that to indicate to Noah. But Noah believed God. In other words, it's like what God told him going to happen seems impossible by his own experience. But he knew that God's word was greater than his experience.
Amen.
As I said, there had been no natural event in human experience to indicate that a natural event could ever destroy the world. Noah had nothing as a complementary support for his faith. Nothing that when he believed in God, nothing outside there or what he had seen or what previous generation to him had seen to say, you know, since that had happened 500 years ago, my great grandparents had told me about it, I need to believe that. No such experience. Are we all there? Not only was what God's word said beyond and outside of human experience of the then world, but as I've mentioned before, there was the mockery and the jeering of Noah's community. People laugh at that man. There's no doubt. Simply because of what he was teaching them was beyond their experience and beyond their foreparents' experiences. So the mockery. May I? If you live in an environment where what you believe, because people may laugh at you because you believe that a man must be baptized to be saved. But you know what? Right at that workplace, you will find probably another worker or two that believe in baptism. They may not share all that you believe about baptism, but they will believe it. And some other, you may believe that, as the Bible teaches, that the communion ought to be taken every first day of the week. And somebody at your workplace or in your neighborhood may laugh at that. But you may at least find a few persons around that believe that it ought to be taken at least every quarter. Noah had no such complement to his faith. He had nobody around to support him. They mock him. They laugh at him. We do not know what drugs they use then. You know, our society depends on drugs as a crutch. That's right. We do not know what drugs they use then. I imagine marijuana, ganja was probably available then. Things like cocaine and all of that, which need lab to put it together. Noah didn't have that, but Noah's generation must wonder, what am I drinking? You ever go and see the big thing the man a build out there and a preach to us? Wait, the man preached for 120 years. Huh? And somebody said, can you imagine, Brother Mitchell, all that time, and he was unsuccessful. The man was not unsuccessful. That's right. The man was able to convert or have his wife to support him. Are we all there? And his children, his three sons, are we there? And his three sons' wife, they stood by him. Wait. And all the people today who believe in God, Noah's faith helped to create faith in the world today. Because it was Noah that the Almighty God used to preserve his name on earth during that time. Yes. The jeering and the mockery. But it was easy without this type of faith in God's word for Noah to think within himself. Wait. It was easy for Noah to think within himself. Without faith like he had, it was easy for Noah to think, wait, did God say he's going to destroy the earth with a rain? You know, we have never seen anything like that. It is beyond our experience. You know what? It seems I didn't hear God properly. Not only that, I don't think the Almighty God would destroy his creature, human being. Destroy the good with the bad. You see, all this, you know, might have come up in Noah, or could have come up in Noah's mind to diminish his faith. When the Almighty God told this man of a flood that's going to destroy the world, it was easy for him to begin to think that God would never destroy the good with the bad. In fact, this came up in Genesis, not in respect to Noah, but the man of faith who followed Noah, and that is Genesis 18, 23 through 25. Listen, you may think it is so far-fetched that this might have run through Noah's mind had he not had the faith that he demonstrated. Genesis chapter 18, verse 23 through verse 25. Let us hear it.
And Abraham drew near.
Start again.
And Abraham drew near.
And Abraham drew near.
And said.
And said.
Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked?
Wait. Don't move from the passage. You get my point? You get my drift? My point is, couldn't this have arisen in Noah's mind? That is to hinder him from obeying God. That is, he might have thought, I didn't say he thought it, but because of his faith, the man accepted what God said. But had it not been for that kind of faith, he probably could have come up with the same point Abraham came up with. Are you God going to destroy the wicked and the good alike? So Noah could have used that to convince himself that he didn't hear God properly. Read a little further, brother. God reasoning with the angel going down to Sodom and Gomorrah to destroy it. Read on a little further.
Peradventure, there be 50 righteous within the city.
Perhaps if you find 50 righteous in the city. Read on.
Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein?
And I like Abraham's reasoning. I like Abraham's reasoning because Abraham's reasoning encompasses the value, the worth of a righteous person in the sight of God. And as backward spiritually, morally and otherwise as that age was, Abraham acknowledged the weight, the worth and the value of a righteous man in God's sight. So on the basis of their worth and value in God's sight, he said, will you, if you found 50 righteous? Wait. It is not 50 righteous among 5,000 people. It's 50 righteous among thousands of people. And for their sake, will you not save the city for the righteous sake? And the angel representing God says, yes, I would. What is the point, Brother Mitchell? Yes, we are not preaching about Abraham. We are preaching on the fact that this type of reasoning might have come up in Noah's mind to help diminish his faith in God's word, to tell him that he didn't hear God properly, and to stop him from building the boat, the ark, simply because he didn't hear God properly, because God will not destroy the righteous with the wicked. But this didn't come up in Noah's mind. He obeyed the Almighty God. Faith. And we are to learn from this, you know. We are to learn because what I'm helping you to look at here is the fact that many things come up in our lives to diminish our faith. Are you all there? Huh? You are sick and you go to half a dozen doctor. Are we all there? You take all the tests and it depletes every cent you have. Are we all there? You pray until your knee get tired. Are we all there? And the illness have been going on for weeks, months, and years. Are we all there? And then you begin to ask, where is God? Look from me, I serve God. Are we all there? Huh? The hardship you are going through, you were going through it 5 years ago and you are still going through it. Where is God? What I'm saying is things do come up to diminish our faith. But we must learn to hold on. And all the things that I've been mentioning are the things that might have come up in Noah's mind so that he would not stop out to build the ark. But Noah believed God even though what God said was against his experience. He believed God. And may I. Remember, it's seven things about Noah's faith. This, what I have just completed, is the second one. And I'm going to finalize the lesson with the third one. I may come back to the lesson next week, but I'm not sure. So those are the points. We may not hear them. Very important. But the third thing mentioned about Noah's faith is the character of Noah's faith. What did you say, Brother Mitchell? The character of Noah's faith. That is, what is the composition? What is the content? Put another way, what did Noah's faith contain? Are we all there? Listen, read the passage again, and I'll point out something here. Read the passage.
By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear.
Stop there, sir. Moved with fear. Moved with fear. May I, before we even talk a little about that, may I? Faith, genuine faith, always moves us to action.
That's right.
Genuine faith always moves us to action. We are in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. And if you start at around verse 3 or 4 there, you will see that, in fact, Hebrews chapter 11 is the one chapter in the entire Bible that gives us a total concept of what it means to believe in God. And all the characters mentioned in that passage, you will see that their faith motivated them, moved them, directed them to do something about what they believe. All of them. So if you ever be one of those men or women who think you can believe in God and just galang so, you are mistaken. Noah's faith, it make Noah move with fear. We are talking about the character of Noah's faith. What it contains. True faith. May I? Wait. He moved with fear. I hope I'll get a chance within the next few minutes as we wrap up to say a little more about that fear. Yes, true faith relies not only on the precious promises of God, but also believe in the solemn threatenings of God. Brother Mitchell, repeat that. Thank you for asking me. Genuine faith. True faith. God accepted faith relies not only on the precious promises of God, but genuine faith. True faith. God accepted faith, believe in the solemn threatenings of God. Noah did not only believe in that which God told him to do to prepare for his and his family's salvation, but Noah knew and accepted that the Almighty God told him that there will be a terrible flood coming. Noah believed that also. He better believe it. Noah believed God's word concerning the coming of judgment, and he believed God's word concerning the provision of salvation. Brother Mitchell, what do you mean? Noah believed God concerning the coming of judgment, that is the flood that will destroy men and women who remain unrepentant and in unbelief. Noah believed that and acted according to that belief. But he also believed in the provision that the Almighty God made for the salvation of those who believe and obey him. Hence, the building of the ark. You see, we must believe that there is a prepared place. That's right. When we talk about there is a prepared place, you must always ask, explain further. Because you see, there are two prepared places. That's right. And now you cannot, like the Jehovah Witness, accept one and reject the other. The punishment of sin all relate to the holiness of God. That's right. Because God is a holy God, sin must either be paid for or be punished. If there is a heaven representing peace, contentment, happiness, there is a hell that stands for the wrath and the judgment of God. For you to go accepting that only heaven exists, but there is no hell, then you're foolish. You're foolish. Noah believed both. The Bible tells us that Noah put his entire generation in the wrong by what he believed. As part of the implication when he says Noah condemned the world by his faith. Do you know that we do the same thing when we live for Jesus Christ? Did you know that our belief and our conduct and life judge the ungodly men and women? That's right. That's why sometimes, you know, the ungodly is so quick to criticize a Christian. Go where they might go church, but they are hypocrite. The person would like to believe that we are hypocrite. You see, it sort of suit their torment, their conscience. So our right conduct and belief judges the ungodly. Didn't it say, but by the man's conduct and faith, he condemned the world? Read it again, my brother, you're holding up the lesson.
By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness.
You hear? Every time, every time you set out to come to church, you are sending a message to the ungodly men and women who see you.
That's right.
Are we all there? You are appealing to that person that he or she should be doing the same thing. They should be worshiping God. They should give God their lives, their time, every time. And by that token, you are also saying to the person, because you are not doing what you should be doing, that which I am trying to do, you are in condemnation in the sight of God.
That's right.
Every time the child of God live up by their conduct, their belief, their attitude, their disposition, live up to God's expectation, you are condemning the world. God's word has to be accepted and obeyed in its totality and in its entirety. I'm going to stop here. I wanted to use, just as an illustration, but I must wrap up. But since I may not come back to this lesson, you know what? Let me not mention it, because we touched the third point. There are four more points that came up about this man's faith that we can learn from. And I'm not promising, but there is a chance we may come back. One of the points we'll be looking on is the evidence of Noah's faith. The evidence of Noah's faith. But we are going to close right here. I resist the temptation to draw an illustration from the New Testament about the fact that genuine faith must be accepted in its totality. We cannot segment God's word and accept that which we like and reject that which we do not like. That's not faith. But probably more will be said on that another time. Enough has been said to help you to understand that as a child of God, you can learn from Noah's faith. We learn that Noah's faith, that belief, not only in the existence of God, but in what God says, it existed in an environment, in a world when there was no event, no complementary evidence to tell Noah that something like that had happened 300 years before or 200 years before, so it is possible to happen again. Nothing like that had happened, yet Noah believed it. It was outside of human experience. His entire community rejected what he preached. There was not one person outside of Noah's family to believe anything that he preached. We mention also the many things that could have come in his mind to deter him, to hinder him from believing that God would carry out his threat. In fact, the world was in fact destroyed. The world then was in fact destroyed, even though only Noah and his family were saved. Thank God for Noah's faith. Let us learn that the same things that work against Noah's faith, in principle, things can work against our faith. We must make sure that we get support for our faith as often and as regularly as we can from the Word of God. Every time you come worship God in sincerity, you are giving support to your faith and belief in God. And remember, you're also bearing witness to the ungodly men and women that a day of judgment is coming and God will judge them. Today, if you're here, not a child of God, you can step forward today believing in Jesus Christ as your Lord, as your Savior, accepting that you are a sinner needing the salvation which is available only in Jesus Christ, you can come not only believing, but making a resolution to turn from your disobedient ways, from your sin. That is what the Bible calls repentance. You can come today with willingness to confess Jesus' name. That is, to show that you are not ashamed of Christ. And you can come today ready to be buried in the water with Christ as he was buried in the tomb. Yes, you can come today.